En nombre de Jesús, in the name of Jesus, amen. So are you confessional or missional, or both? Claiming to be missional or confessional, or perhaps a missional confessor, or a confessional missionary, really matters little, indeed nothing, unless one confesses Jesus as Lord. Not just as the Lord in general, but as my Lord. This is easier said than done. For confessing Jesus as Lord means to live under his lordship. Not an easy thing to do, since there are many lords out there that call for our attention and entice us with power, a name for ourselves, a claim to some greatness. Jesus is Lord. Easier said than done. This is why St. Paul claims that, well, no one can do it. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit alone brings us through the gospel to bow at the name of Jesus, confess him as our Lord, and live under his lordship. So it amounts to more than words. It is a way of life to confess this Lord. It's a way of life where anything that is a Lord in our hearts has to die so that Jesus alone may reign there with his Holy Spirit. One thing is to say Jesus is Lord. Another matter is living under his lordship. That, my friends, is tough business. If St. Paul thought life under the lordship of Jesus were easy, he would not have been writing letters to Christians to remind them what confessing Christ as Lord actually looks like in congregational and everyday life. And this is the heart of the matter. You have to die every day to your own claims to lordship so that Jesus alone is Lord. Today, St. Paul is reminding the Philippians and us to die to any of our own deluded attempts at greatness. No Christian is immune from the lure of power, especially those in positions of authority. Nowadays, it seems endless discussions on who is the greatest and most confessional Lutheran consume us. Even missionaries are not immune from the attraction of greatness, as grand and even flowery stories about mission successes are shared with others, or as we begin to feel we deserve to have more things because of the special works and sacrifices we're making for Jesus. Yes, the attraction to make something of ourselves, to make a name for ourselves because of our great confession of our great mission zeal is just too powerful. All that stuff has to die. Any ambition, greatness, self-interest you may want to attach to yourself or your work gets nailed to the cross right now and every day. Let the confessor and the missionary in us say, in all my thoughts, words, and deeds, I must always decrease so that the Lord Jesus may increase. Mission and confession is about his story, his sacrifice for us, and his lost, poor, and sinners. Those whom we are called to serve under his lordship by his Spirit in his name. But don't take my word for it. Here's what St. Paul says. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Paul calls us to die to our claims to greatness in order to make room for others, so that we may be less full of ourselves and more full of Christ. so that we may be less self-serving and more self-giving. Paul calls this aspect of living under the lordship of Jesus having the mind of Christ. To embody in life this confession, Jesus is Lord, is to have the mind, the heart, the attitude of Christ. How then does one embody this confession in mission? Here everything begins and ends with the cross. There on the cross, one learns to look away from the greatness of one's confession and mission and look instead to the greatness of Christ's power manifested through his undeserving love for us. On that cross, the mind is shaped daily after Christ's own way of life, where nothing is claimed for oneself and everything is given to another. There on that cross, one ceases to be a lord with a claim to power and a name and becomes a disciple and a humble servant. You see, Christ does not exercise his power by claiming it, even though he has it all as the Lord of heaven and earth. Instead, Jesus Christ manifests his power by becoming nothing, by becoming our servant. Through the cross, Christ redefines for us what lordship is. We learn that lordship is displaying whatever power, authority, knowledge, experience, energy, or zeal we have been given. Not to make claims over others or get our way, but by sacrificing for them. One lives under the lordship of Christ by dying to self to make room for the neighbor, by giving up seeking a name for oneself in order to worship, confess, and proclaim the only name that counts, the name of Jesus alone. Divesting oneself of greatness, having the mind of Christ. When or how does a predominantly Anglo church use its power, or perhaps give up some of it, to foster the theological and missional contributions of brothers and sisters of various ethnic groups? We asked that question yesterday, didn't we? It's a good question. It's a tough question. But it should not blind us to the fact that the lure for power is there in all of us. I give you an example. Less than a year ago, the presidents and vice presidents of the Hispanic National Conventions of the LCMS met with our current synodical leadership. And an idea was thrown on the table that was actually very luring. And that idea was, why don't we have a Hispanic district, a non-geographical Hispanic district of the LCMS? That would allow us to have a Hispanic bishop in the Council of Presidents. Wouldn't that be great and move the mission forward? The presidents and vice presidents of the Hispanic National Convention thought about that for some time. And you know what? We said that would actually distance us from our brothers and sisters in Christ, both Anglo and other. And so we gave up that power. It would have distanced us from each other, from the districts of Synod. We thought it would have been detrimental to our unity in confession, detrimental to our ability to do the mission among Hispanics across the United States. So we gave up our claim to power so that we could serve the Lord's church, so that we could be united in our confession and one in our mission. Did we make the right decision? I don't know, but it sure seems like the principle at work was all right. become nothing and be a servant first, and then everything else should fall into place. Luther describes what it means to have the Christ attitude in one of his sermons on Philippians 2, and here's what he says. Service was with Christ something assumed for our benefit and as an example for us to follow, teaching us to act in like manner toward others, to disrobe ourselves of the appearance of divinity as he did. What a great way of putting it. To disrobe ourselves of the appearance of divinity. Love that. Luther goes on to explain that Christ, who is God, disrobed himself, divested himself of the form of God, of the God attitude, as it were, in order to serve us. How much more then should we, seeing what Christ has done for us, divest ourselves of the God attitude, which we cannot even claim for ourselves, in order to serve the lost, the poor, the lonely, the widow, the infant, the alien, and all the needy and rejected in our midst. To serve others, Christ has not given us the appearance of divinity, but the form of his servanthood. That's the right attitude, the right mind for us. As we approach every person and every task in every time and every cultural context, the form of the servant. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we go about the work and vocations God has given to us, as we confess his name and go about his mission, let us die to any form or appearance of divinity. Let us lose the God attitude we may want to claim for ourselves in our speech and our deeds. Let us not be so consumed by our confessional and missionary zeal that we become self-righteous and divisive. Rather, let Jesus be the Lord of our lives so that we may not our name, but his name alone count in our lives and ministries and among those we have been called to serve. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. But yes, it is the Spirit who alone can shape this kind of Christ-like attitude in us. No one can confess Jesus is Lord except. So why not end this homily with an epiclesis? That is a prayer for the descent of the Spirit in our lives to do just that, to shape in us the mind of the one who did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve and to give his life for us. We pray. Spirit of truth, you who have led us to confess Jesus as Lord, teach us to be faithful confessors of God's word and truth. Spirit of Pentecost, you who have made us a new Israel through faith in Christ, teach us to be faithful missionaries as we make disciples among Jews and Gentiles. But first, Spirit of the Son, fire of the Father's love, help us to live under the Lordship of Jesus. Come to burn away and bury all our claims to Lordship, greatness, and the appearance of divinity. And by the Word of God and your gracious indwelling in us, purify, polish, shape, and chisel in us the mind of Christ our Lord, whose power is made perfect through suffering and may manifest through service. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.